Two other casualties of the Pontotoc County judicial system were on the row when Ron arrived, though he didn't know it at first. Tommy Ward and Carl Fontenot had been waiting there for almost 3 years as their appeals were grinding through the courts. The run man handed Ron a note, or a kite, an unauthorized message that the guards generally ignored. It was from Tommy Ward, saying hello and wishing him well. Ron sent one back and asked for some cigarettes. Though he felt sorry for Tommy and Carl, he was relieved to know that not everyone on the row was a butcher. He had always believed they were innocent and had thought about them often during his ordeal. Tommy had spent time with Ron in the jail in Ada and knew he was emotionally unstable. The guards and other inmates there had taunted both of them. Years earlier, in the middle of the night, a voice called out from a dark end of the hall, "Tommy, this is Denise Haraway. Please tell them where my body is." He heard the police whispering and other inmates suppressing laughter. Tommy ignored the head games, and they finally left him alone. Ron could not.
"Ron, why did you kill Debbie Carter?"
A haunting voice would echo through the Ada jail. Ron would bolt from his bed and begin screaming. On death row, Tommy battled with his sanity every day. The horror of the place was bad enough for real murderers, but for an innocent man, it was literally maddening. He feared for Ron's well-being from the moment he arrived. One of the guards on the row knew the details of the Carter murder. Not long after Ron arrived, Tommy heard a guard call out,
"Ron, this is Debbie Carter.
Why did you kill me?"
Ron, who was quiet at first, began yelling and protesting his innocence. The guards enjoyed his reaction, and the taunting began. The other inmates were also amused and often joined the fun. A few days after Ron arrived, Tommy was suddenly pulled from his cell and draped with chains and cuffs by several gruff and heavy guards. This was something serious, though he had no idea where he was headed. They never tell you. They marched him away, a skinny little boy surrounded by enough security to protect the president. "Where are we going?" he asked, but the answer was much too important to reveal. He shuffled down the run, out of F cell house, through the dome-like rotunda of the big house, empty except for the pigeons, and into a conference room in the administration building. The warden was waiting, and he had bad news. They kept him shackled and placed in the hot seat at the end of a long conference table that was jam-packed with assistants and clerks and secretaries and anyone else who wanted to participate in the macabre announcement. The guards stood stone-faced and sentry-like behind him, ready just in case he tried to bolt somewhere when given the news. Everyone around the table was holding a pen and ready to record what was about to happen. The warden spoke gravely. The bad news was that he had not received a stay of execution, so Tommy's time had come. Yes, it did seem rather early. His appeals were not yet 3 years old, but sometimes these things happen. The warden was very sorry, but just doing his job. The big day was 2 weeks away. Tommy breathed hard and tried to absorb this. He had lawyers working on his appeals, which, as he'd been told many times, would take years to complete. There was a good chance of a new trial back in Ada. It was 1988. Oklahoma had not pulled off an execution in more than 20 years. Perhaps they were a bit rusty and didn't know what they were doing. The warden continued. They would begin making preparations immediately. One important item was what to do with the body. The body, thought Tommy. My body? The clerks and assistants and secretaries all frowned at their notepads and scribbled the same words. Why are all these people in here? Tommy asked himself. Just send me to my mother, I guess, Tommy said, or tried to say. His knees were weak when he stood. The guards seized him again and marched him back to F cell house. He crawled into his bed and cried. Not for himself, but for his family, and especially for his mother. 2 days later, he was informed that there had been a mistake. Some paperwork had been mishandled somewhere along the way. A stay was in place, and Mrs. Ward would not be collecting her son's body anytime soon.